the bar, where a giant deadly snake could be napping. And then I thought, perhaps a payphone. Perhaps I thought I should go see my business partner, Eddie Mooshoes, and discuss the dilemma in which I found myself, and while at it, inform him that he was my business partner in a venture that seemed to have gone somewhat pear-shaped. I took a deep breath and held it while I dug into Sal's pocket for his keys, found them, then stepped politely over him and out the back door, scooting his leg away a little as I went, so it would be easier to get back in. Once outside in the alley, I locked the door and sighed, as if I'd stepped safely off a minefield. But when I turned around, there were two tall, thin guys in black suits, hats, and sunglasses standing there behind me. And I mean, right there. It's like they'd been waiting for me. They were trying to act unflappable, but they were flapped more than somewhat by my second manly scream of the day. There are times in a guy's life when he finds himself floating face down in a sea of troubles, and as hope bubbles away, he thinks, "How the hell did I get here?" I mean, I didn't know then what the two mugs in black suits knew, which was that across the vastness of space, we were being studied by intellects far superior to man's, by beings that regarded us with envious eyes, and slowly and surely were drawing their plans to come to our world and motorboat the bazooms of our dames. Yeah, dame. That's how it starts. Chapter 1 Sammy and the Cheese. She had the kind of legs that kept her butt from resting on her shoes. A size 8 dame in a size 6 dress, and every mug in the joint was rooting for the two sizes to make a break for it as they watched her wiggle in the door and shimmy onto a bar stool with her back to the door. I raised an eyebrow at the South African merchant marine who'd been spinning out tales of his weird cargo at the other end of the bar while I polished a shot glass.
"That there is a tasty bit of trouble," said the sailor.
"Yep," I said, snapping my bar towel and draping it over my arm as fancy as you please. "You know what they say, though, Captain? Full speed ahead and damn the torpedoes." So I moved down the bar toward the dame, beaming a smile like a lighthouse full of charm, but trying to keep my limp on the QT to discourage curiosity.
"I don't think that's what they were talking about, Sammy boy," said the sailor. "But steam on."
Which is the kind of cheering a guy will give you when figuring it's no skin off his nose if you get shot down.
"What can I get you, Toots?"
I said to the dame. She was a blonde, the dirty kind, and her hair was pinned up on her head so it kind of shot up dark, then fountained out yellow every which way in curls at the top, which made her look a little surprised. Her lips reminded me of a valentine, shiny red and plump, but a little lopsided, like maybe she'd taken a shot to the kisser in an earlier round, where the valentine heart had a cute angina. Crooked, but inviting. Then the dame fidgeted on the bar stool, as if to get a better fit on her bottom, causing a gasp to go through the room that momentarily cleared the smoke, as if a truck-sized dragon had sucked it out through the back door. It's not that a lone dame never came into Sal's. It's just that one never came in this early, while it was still light out, and the haze of hooch hadn't settled on everyone to smooth over a doll's rougher edges, light being the natural enemy of the bar broad.
"The name's not Toots," said the blonde, "and give me something cheap that goes down easy."
Then there commenced a lot of coughing as all the guys in the joint were suddenly paying attention to draining drinks, lighting cigarettes, adjusting the angles of their hats and whatnot, as if the dame's remark had not just floated like a welcome sign over a room full of hustlers, gamblers, day-drunks, stevedores, sailors, ne'er-do-wells, and neighborhood wise guys, each and every one a hound at heart. So I looked over the shotgun bar, trying to catch every eye as I was reaching down, as if I was going for my walking stick, which is my version of the indoor baseball bat most bartenders keep, and even though my cane was 10 feet out of reach, they got the message. I'm not a big guy, and I'm known to have a slow boil, but I have quick hands and I put in an hour on a heavy bag every day, a habit I picked up due to my inability to know when to keep my trap shut, so it is known that I can handle myself. Most of those mugs had seen more than one guy poured into the gutter out front after thinking my sunny disposition and bum foot made me a pushover, so they kept it polite. Then again, I also controlled the flow of booze. Could have been that. "What do I call you then, miss?" I asked the blonde.